Please sit down. We've got a short series in the book of Revelation today, and then the last two Sundays of July. It's good to have a bit of a challenge sometimes. For me as well as for all of us. And 3 weeks in Revelation chapters 12 to 14 means a chapter a week. And to make the most of this series, you will need your Bibles open in front of you. And do remember, all of God's word is for our edification. And with the book of Revelation, don't just have Jehovah's Witnesses telling you what it means. Find out. And hopefully this will help you. The most basic thing for us to grasp is that God speaks so that we understand. Revelation is not meant to confuse us. It's given to us to help us to understand our world. It's given to us to help us to understand our present circumstances. And it's given to us to help us understand our future prospects. The reason it is written in a strange picture language is probably to confuse the enemies of God's people, but to inspire and encourage the people of God. Because Revelation was written in times of persecution. Times like our own in so many parts of the world. There's such strife in our time, such cruelty towards the innocent, including so many peaceable Christians. We need help to make sense of it. And the book of Revelation helps us to make sense of this world where division and conflict and persecution rear their heads increasingly. So chapters 12 to 14, just a section of the book of Revelation. And one way to understand the book of Revelation is as a series of rooms. John is being shown through a series of rooms. And in each room, he sees the time between Jesus' first coming and his promised second coming. So he goes through these seven rooms, each of them looking at the same time from different angles. The time from Jesus' first coming to his second coming. Picking up different themes as it's looked at from different angles. And with each vision, we enter a new room. So the previous vision, I'm on page 274 in the Church Bibles, right at the back. New Testament, 274. And you can see that the previous vision ends at the end of chapter 11, verse 18. And then the new room appears in verse 19. Then God's temple in heaven was opened. The door was opened into the temple. And the Ark of Covenant, of his covenant, was seen within his temple. That's what you would have seen in Old Testament times if you opened the door of the temple. And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail. So dramatic entry to a new room. So that also means we're getting to the center of things, the nub of things, because the Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies at the center of the Jerusalem temple and Moses' tabernacle. So there's the setting. Now, what's in this new room? Well, we need to read this with our eyes open. I'm not going to provide any pictures. This is for our imagination to make our own pictures. What's in this new room? Verses 1 to 6 introduce the main characters. Who do you think they are? Verse 1. A great portent appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her crown, head a crown of 12 stars. Who do you think this is? Who is the shiny woman? Verse 2. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pangs in the agony of giving birth. Okay, well, let's leave her a moment and go on to the second of the characters. There in verse 3. Then another portent, a great red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems on his head, a powerful great red dragon. Who? Well, verse 4 gives us a few clues. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bear a child so that he might devour her child as soon as it was born. This is a scary picture. And this dragon started in heaven and caused a significant proportion of those in heaven to be swept elsewhere. And he is a nasty enemy of the shiny woman. In particular, the great red dragon is the nasty enemy of the child of the shiny woman about to be born. Now, I've already given you a clue who the child might be, because I said that each of these visions goes from Jesus' first coming to his second coming. But verse 9 is the place that tells us who the great red dragon is. Verse 9, Revelation does help us. The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. So this is the devil. The serpent, the ancient serpent, Adam and Eve and all that. So we've got our second character understood to a certain extent. Now the third character is the child being born. Verse 5 and 6. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But a child was snatched away and taken to God and to his throne. So the male child, who is to be the ruler of all the nations and who ends up on the throne of God? Well, this ought to be where Christians start to think, oh, I think I know the answer to that one. That's Jesus. So now let's try and work out finally who the shiny woman is. Well, first guess we might say Mary, because Jesus was born to Mary. But this is a bigger picture than the nativity. And so we need to come back and look at the bigger picture and remember that Jesus came from the line of Abraham in the people, the Old Testament people of God. Jesus came from the line of David in the people of God. Jesus was born from the people of God. So we're better off thinking of the shiny woman as the whole people of God from whom Jesus was born. Are you with me so far? Hope so, because now we have some understanding of this passage and where it's going, we can start to apply this to ourselves. How do we fit into the picture? Have a quick look at the end of the chapter, verse 17. Then the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her children, those who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. So if we are people who keep God's word and hold on to Jesus' teaching, we are children of the shiny woman. We are the people of God. And these chapters help us to understand our enemies, those who are against us, and what to do when they come after us for no good reason. So there will be people in Iraq and Syria and northern Nigeria, the borders of Kenya, and all sorts of places in the world who are immensely helped and encouraged by this scripture as they find enemies coming after them who they didn't know they had and who come after them for no good reason. At my secondary school, my biggest wake-up call was a short period of bullying I received. Till then, I had thought school was a friendly place for everyone, but I'd failed to see what was going on under the surface. And for a couple of weeks, thankfully only a couple of weeks, a boy called King made my life pretty scary, with a series of threats. And Kinger had bullied others before me, and he would bully others after me. It's just that I hadn't really noticed it until then, when it happened to me. And before, I had always thought of school as a peaceful, happy place for everyone. Now, I could see some of what was under the surface, and I noticed other things. I noticed fights could erupt suddenly, and a crowd would gather round. And I learnt that division and nastiness is, well, really never far from the surface, in lots of places. In Britain, before the EU referendum, lots of people thought that basically most of the country agreed with them, and that's how it was, all in rather agreeable terms, and failed to see what was going on under the surface. And the result of the EU referendum in the UK, like the Scottish referendum a year or two back, revealed that underneath there are big divisions and has uncovered some of the nastiness from different directions associated with those divisions. Sometimes you need a wake-up call to realize what's going on underneath, even though everything on the top might seem agreeable and peaceable. So Revelation chapter 12 says that when you think of the life between Jesus' first coming and his promised second coming, think of it like this. Whatever it looks like on the surface, underneath, it's like a heavenly war. When you wake up, can't you see it looks like a spiritual battle. That's what's underneath that maybe you hadn't seen before. And that will help you understand some of the things that flare up now and then on the surface. Now, let's go on with the text as we have started to understand the underlying message and its application to our days. In verses 10 to 12, it's like a commentary, a proclamation. You know, when you you sometimes look at stuff on the telly and you think, I wish I knew what was going on. And it might be that you're watching an American football match or something like that, and no, I wish there was some commentary that could make sense of this. Well, that's what we're given here in verse 10 and following. It's a commentary on the spiritual battle from heaven's vantage point. And it's saying that salvation has arrived from God. This birth of the child to the shiny woman means that salvation has come, and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah has come. And he has joined the battle. Indeed, he has not just joined the battle, he has won the decisive battle. The accuser of our comrades has been, our brothers and sisters, has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. Jesus is winning the battle. Indeed, Jesus has won the decisive battle, but they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And Jesus' victory is also a victory for his followers. They have conquered the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So Jesus' death and resurrection, his blood, he's the Lamb, has enabled Christians to claim this decisive victory, which means even if they suffer and die, they need not fear. for they did not cling to life even in the face of death. This is an encouragement to Christians in northern Nigeria and so many other places. Verse 12, rejoice then, you heavens and those who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you with great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. There is rejoicing in heaven at the same time as great woe on this earth, because of this underlying spiritual battle. But however nasty it gets, we can still rejoice with heaven. And the Lord wants us to know that the decisive victory is won by Jesus. He wants us to know this loud and clear. So that's the proclamation that the commentator gives in the middle of this chapter. And we need to rely on Jesus and what he's done. If we get caught up in this spiritual battle. What's another thing that we might take? Well, the last paragraph, what's that saying to us? What does the shiny woman do when pursued by the red dragon in verse 13? She is caught up and escapes. She's given two wings of the great eagle so that she can fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to her place where she is nourished. So running away, escaping. God wants his people to flee to a quiet place and find nourishment. That's what they're doing in Iraq and Syria, seeking to do. Running away from the accuser is faithful. Finding a quiet place of sanctuary is good. And so many of the Syrian Christians are in the parts of the country under Kurdish control, seeking to nourish one another there. And for how long will the people of God need to flee the devil in his death throes and find nourishment like this? Well, have you noticed there are two time frames in this chapter? First, in verse 6, it mentioned 1,260 days. So some people work out how long that is. And then others can look in verse 14 and see that it mentions a time and times and half a time. Those two periods of time actually last the same length. So what's 1,260 days? I thought we had maths teachers in this congregation. I think it's 3.5 years, isn't it? It's 3.5 years, I'm pretty sure. And what's the other one? Time, times, and half a time is 3.5 times. Yeah, so it's the same length of time. And this is understood in the book of Revelation. The period between Jesus' first coming and his second coming is 7. It's always 7. So each room you go into in Revelation has 7, whatever it is. And so the time between Jesus' first coming and his second coming is like 3.5 plus 3.5. The first 3.5 is a long 3.5 years. The second 3.5 is a short period of tribulation. Those last of the last days will be a harder time which no one can flee from and no one can escape. That's how time works in the book of Revelation. So even though the devil is an angry dragon, for most of the time in this age between Jesus' first coming and second coming, Christians can flourish. Even though the spiritual battle is on, even with persecution, Christians can flee and Christians can flourish. Even when Satan's bringing floods, we can be like Noah in the ark. This is an understanding of our situation which will help us to flourish, even though we're in a spiritual battle. This is an understanding of the situation of the Christians in this world, which will help us know what to do if and when things get tough. And most of all, we need to be faithful, keeping the commandments of God, holding the teaching of Jesus through all of the upheaval of this spiritual battle. I hope that has helped in terms of understanding Revelation 12. And I ought to say that you need chapter 13 and 14 as well to really make sense of the message that is in this section of the book of Revelation and why it is such a helpful, encouraging and practical teaching for Christians in our times. Let's pray. Lord, please help us to be faithful in our times. Help us to understand that there is a spiritual battle which is on and which has decisively been won and yet still continues to rumble. Please help us to live in the light of your truth and your salvation through Jesus. Amen.